The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Dave from L.A., and today is January the 26th, 2017, excuse me, and it is a Thursday. We have a live show for you today. We're getting started just a little behind, but that's okay. Scotty had to take care of some of the things in order to keep this network going, so no problem. So we're going to jump into today's show, but everyone continue to support Black Talk Radio Network by giving some of your financial energy to the network. And you could do that by going to the website for Black Talk Radio Network. That's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And on the right far right-hand margin, you'll see the green prompt for the donations. You can just click that, and it will lead you into how you can give some of your financial energy to ensure that this network continues to grow, continues to provide you what you've come to value, and to ensure that we're here for the future. And that will support all of Black Talk Radio Network and all the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Also, Black Talk Radio Network has established a social media network known as BTR Community. And you can also find that by going to www.btrcommunity. And this social media network was established just for you so that it would minimize your overall digital footprint as far as you being adversely affected by what you post, what you comment on, the things that you want to highlight and things that are relevant and important to you that won't be used against you as much as it will be, or it won't be used against you like it is used in mainstream media. The mainstream media social networks that have been established to actually get intelligence and to get information about you. And you know, it's so funny, the system has created a place where to gossip and brag and everything else, and that's why it's so important. You know, it's really critical that we watch what we do and think from just more of a perspective of what we like and for entertainment and everything else, but look at the overall effects of things and the comfortability that we have. So Black Talk Radio Network has established the BTR community, and you can find that icon and that prompt also underneath the donation that's on the website for Black Talk Radio Network, is known as BTR Community, or you can go to www.btrcommunity. And this social media network is only $24 a year to maintain it and for you to engage, and you can promote yourself, your business, or other things that you think should garner the attention that it needs. You can highlight those things. So definitely support and become a part of BTR Community, $24 a year, and that will take care of the infrastructure to keep you to where you can have a more secure way of having some of your social media activities without someone selling your information. Okay, also, If you would like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand the real relevant importance of the precious metals. And I always put it this way, it's God's money, or it's the great creator's money. It provides sustainability for life throughout the universe. And cash does not do that. So whenever someone tells you that it's not really needed or necessary, no, that's not true at all. It's just as important or even more important than food itself. And people that say no, it's not, because they don't know really what it does and why it's so relevant. It's critical. Actually, you would not be able to survive without silver. You don't know, you know, we haven't been taught those things, but the truth of the matter is just that. You wouldn't be able to survive without. It's that important, and this is why they hide the information. So it's very, very important for you to acquire some of the assets. You know, food is a form of money, but it's not the most perfect form of money because it's perishable. The most perfect form of money that we have is the assets of the precious metals because of the intrinsic value that the great creator put in them. Critical, critical, critical. What they can do just because they exist. So you can do that. You can acquire it by going to Prosperity Mint, ProsperityMint.com. And you can check out what they have there in inventory, and make sure you email wolf6pack1@gmail.com once you're ready to acquire it, and someone will get back to you and make sure that you are purchasing correctly and actually guide you through the thing. So very, very important. Yes, you may not know, you may not think, but the precious metals is just as equally important as food, because without it, you would not be able to exist in the physical form that you exist in. You wouldn't have any food without it, nor would you be able to engage in any relative substance here on Earth without it. Or it would be in a much, much different form that probably wouldn't sustain human life. So very, very important. But, of course, they don't tell you because they hide things in plain sight. So you won't know. They will know and control assets. And by controlling assets, they're able to subjugate and enslave people. So very, very important. What you don't know can definitely harm us all. I'm always continuously trying to learn different things, and I always suggest that you try to acquire a good education about things as well, not a good schooling. All right. So with that being said, let's jump into what's in the news, and then we're going to get into today's show. But at any time, if you would like to jump in on a conversation, give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit **. If I'm reading something or I'm off of the page where I can't see you, just, you know, you could just say, you know, lightly say, excuse me. I will know that you're there, and I'll get to you as soon as we possibly can. Don't like to keep our callers waiting. So if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, a dialogue is much more important than a monologue. Don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025. Then hit **, and that will put you in queue and unmute you so that you can actually bring your comments or your questions to us here, and we will do our very best to engage in that dialogue with you. So, so important. Okay, so let's jump into what's in the news. And whenever I jump into what's in the news, that means that I'm not looking at the overall board that tells me that you're in queue. So you would just have to just lightly say, excuse me, and I will know that you're there, and we will definitely move straight to you. Okay, so today's show is, we're going to, today's topic for January the 26th, 2017 is how to handle being stopped. How to handle being stopped by the police. And we're also going to do, from the time that's left over, the 96-hour margin call, because it's very, very important, because these things are definitely starting to unfold. So how to handle being stopped by the police and the 96-hour margin call will be the topics of today's show. And once again, anytime you'd like to call in, give us a call, 866-510-9025. Okay, so let's jump into what's in the news, and we will take it from there. First article of what's in the news. This was, in my opinion, very, very important. This one came from the globaltimes.cn. and that's out of China, is one of the state-run tabloid. I was thinking about it earlier. I couldn't remember the word tabloid. So, but it's one of their tabloids, but it's one that the from the government tabloids. So it actually speaks from the governmental position from China. So, and it's known as Global Times. So Global Times. And my commentary on this was short and to the point. Independent thinkers don't need more than a sentence to comprehend. And in this Global Times, very, very critical article that was put in the Global Times, it tells you everything. It's not even a paragraph long. It's a sentence length or just longer than a sentence. And this was posted, they put this on the 22nd of January earlier this week. And this is what it says, very, very important. A lot of the things that are short and to the point tell you everything you need to know. It's really a matter of reading between the lines. Here's what was said. Jinping to head Central Commission for integrated military and civilian development. General Secretary of the Communist Party of China, CPC, Central Committee, will head a newly formed Central Commission for Integrating Military and Civilian Development, according to a decision by the Political Bureau of the CPC Center Committee on Sunday. Very, very short. What does that mean? Really think about it, ladies and gentlemen. And like I said, independent thinkers don't need much to know, and reading between the lines what they're saying. China is preparing themselves for all-out military confrontation against the United States and any other country that would want to back the United States. This is very, very important, because they're going to integrate the military and civilian development. And that is a word, because the civilian population is now going to be building and supporting and augmenting the military infrastructure needed to fight a major global war that they're going to be embarking in. Short, sweet, and to the point. Tells you, you need to really be getting prepared. So that was one thing that was in the news, very, very important. And like I said, that came from the Global Times. And like I said, in my commentary, short and to the point, independent thinkers don't need much more than a sentence to comprehend. All of you independent thinkers, you know what this means. You know that this means that we're rapidly moving toward military confrontation, and you need to have yourself, your family, and all of those that are within your resonating community ready and to respond to this with an appropriate protection for yourself, your family, and the overall community. And the overall community is the individuals that resonate with the same as you. Very, very important. So check out that short article, and you can, this is something that gives you a heads up on what's going on. Next one. This one came from the freethoughtproject.com. And it says, state bill to mandate children to receive every vaccination, civilians fight back. And this came out of, there's an Oklahoma senator, and she happens to be a doctor, Yin. And it says, Irving Yin will give up her personal vendetta to force all Oklahomans to vaccinate their children, but the third refuses to give that up. In the third year in a row, Yin has introduced a bill requiring all children in the state to be vaccinated, and the only exceptions being children who already had serious medical conditions. Do you hear what they just said? The only people, only children that are exempt are the ones that have serious medical conditions. Why? Because they already have them in the state that they want already. So if you have a serious medical condition, then you pass. We already have you right where we want you. So we're going to try to get all of the other children, the so-called healthy children, to be in the same state as those that have been excluded, because those that are excluded, we don't need to vaccinate them. This is ridiculous. And I don't care what Yen, is she a doctor or whatever, whatever they say is all a bunch of lies, and it's all, because this is a family show, I will not say what it is. It's a lie. But
Dave,
the intentions, they tell you everything. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Your caller yesterday, I'm not sure which one it was. It might have been male. But when they said that, okay, your unvaccinated children is going to be put everybody else at risk, and then y'all talked about, well, aren't they already vaccinated? So, I mean, what's going on here? I mean, that just really hit home for me, and just showing the charade of it all.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's really, really, and it was Mel. And he is absolutely right. And this is the whole thing. Why are they doing this? Because we need to really look at it for what it really is. It is it's a soft kill depopulation program. And they're the new administration just raided the CDC. But guess what? It's all a facade because people are waking up to it. So now they have to change the overall propaganda to make those individuals think that they got somebody that's going to be really fighting for them. That's what they do in all forms. Bitcoin is a way of doing that. The stock market is a way of doing that. And vaccination is a way of doing that. All these things are meant to destroy and to hinder and to capture your free will, all of these things. So check out that article. Now, on this free press, I said it was another picture that I took out because on this the Free Thought Project, they have a picture of an Asian man, and so funny, they says the authorities unite. So it shows this, in my opinion, this is a representation of China. And it has the sun with the rays from the sun, and it has a syringe with blood in it, and it is holding it up with military troops in the back, and it's a Chinese man that's there, or an Asian descent man. And so what I did was I said, hold on, let me fix that, because that's propaganda. And if you look at the article I posted underneath, it came from funboxcomedy.com. I hope this is okay. Cool. Whew, man. Funboxcomedy.com. When I read that name, I said, man, what is this? So in this funboxcomedy.com, you see four doctors that's there, and two women and two men of all different, they try to represent diversity that's there. But see, this is the thing. All three of them have the ceremonial garb on of destruction and murder. Most people, every person you know that they told you died of natural causes did not die by natural causes. They were inadvertently murdered by this system in one way or another through toxification and everything else. And these are the individuals that are upholding that system that are doing just that. That's why they wear that gown. It's a ceremonial thing. And they are not practicing the oath that they've taken. They actually have taken an oath to those that pay them. And they're going to put all of the pretty faces and all of the people that you would think and all of the nice titles and all of that, because let me tell you, the devil will always wear Sunday's best. And I say that for real. Let me explain what I mean by when I say the devil wears their Sunday's best. Their Sunday's best is to make you look at them and say, oh, they couldn't do anything wrong. But the devil, the details of who they really are and what they really are upholding, even if they know or don't know, is the devil is in the details. It's nothing moral about it. It's nothing benevolent about it. It's malevolent. And they're pushing this on our children. They really don't care about the parents, because they already got them. It's the energy of the future that has to be harnessed. And so I'm going to say this about the system. Well, we'll get to that in today's... Well, no, I'm going to say it now. One of the things about this system is that if you know and protect yourself, they don't care about you. They really focus on... They don't care about the individuals. They care about the masses of people. Individually, they don't care if you stray, if you refuse. They don't care about that because they know they got so many more people that they need to continue to maintain inside of the pens of corral, the structure system corralling and shepherding of people. They care about the masses. They don't care about the ones that walk away from the system. But see, this is the thing about that. They don't care about it, but they so institutionalize those that are the sheeple become your biggest threat because they care about the system and upholding it and making sure that they're in good standings with the system. They're the ones that are going to be more of a threat to you than the overall system itself is those that have perpetuated completely and will uphold the system by way of intention or ignorance. Excuse me, one second. Either way, they will look at you as a troublemaker. I would just say this way. I'm not an individual that obeys. I don't obey. I set my own path. I don't obey you because you said for me to obey you. That's just words that you spoke. Those words have no power over me. That spell has no power over me. But see, my thing is that I live by the rule that I don't infringe on your freedoms or your self-determination unless it infringes upon mine. And I don't overtly try to push mine on anyone because I respect all. I'm not a respecter of persons. I respect people. So this system doesn't care about the individuals that are individual thinkers that decide not to play by the rules and do things on the side. They already know when they collapse different things and they cause for adversity and crisis and chaos and within the system, the people that do obey, they're going to deal with you because of their ignorance or because of their will. It's a very, very thought out structured plan that's been put in place for many, many of millions of years. It's been around for a while. So check out those two articles. And then I posted a picture and I said in the picture there, I fixed the picture from above. This is more like it. And it really is that picture that we have underneath the Free Thought Project. Next article comes from internews.com. Massive die-off of sea creatures from California to Alaska. Animals are starving as food chains continue to collapse. Massive starvation even plagues West Coast. Scientists feel like I was doing nothing but counting dead animals. So check out that video that's there. And Fukushima continues to wage its overall poison of death throughout physical death throughout this planet on the living planet itself. And all of the living entities are within this planet. So it is the preferred method of destruction. Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you there is there is no calamity that we're waiting for to happen. It already has happened. The real thing that you need to be preparing for has already happened. But it's going to be the compounding of things that's going to be continued to be layered on and layered on and layered on until the appropriate desired effect has been met by the depopulation of the planet. And I'm going to tell you one more thing about the system. For the individuals that are individual thinkers and they choose not to obey, if they make it through and when they make it through, the system does not care that they made them through at all. The system will actually smile at them, say, and nod at them and say, yep, you knew what we were trying to do, huh? They don't care if you make it or not. They care about controlling the masses of population. That's the real agenda. This is why they go hard at their overall propaganda and their methodology of enslaving and subjugating people. They have a problem when you try to stop them by their means. Because they realize they can't stop you when you refuse to participate with them, and that takes away your energy from them. Nothing that the system can do. There's no remedy for that. It's no remedy for it at all. So just for you to think about. Next article comes from Sputnik News. New York mayor vows to protect undocumented migrants ahead of Trump's order. So check out this article. Trump is expected to sign executive order on Wednesday, which was yesterday, that could expedite the construction of a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border and increase deportation of undocumented migrants, media reports. Half a million of New Yorkers happen to be undocumented immigrants. So check out this article. And I said this is going to be an ugly fight. This is a part of the depopulation program, ladies and gentlemen. Like it or not, they are going to cause all of the wars, and wars are tools that 99% of its victims are innocent people that had nothing to do with it at all. It is the most effective way for sociopaths and psychopaths to get numbers right that within their ability to control. It is the cutback. It is the bail-in and bail-out. It is the trimming and the pruning of the human population, because people get too many and they start asking questions. They become noisy and they become loud. And if you look at historical things, it shows you where they say just that. So check out that article. Next article comes from mainstream media, Fox News. Priebus on sanctioned cities. If you defy the law of this country, you shouldn't receive federal tax dollars. So check out that. This came from the chief of staff of the celebrity figurehead CEO, president of the United States. So check out that article. Next one, very good article. Something that you all should definitely take a look at is from WalkingTimes.com. Scientists proves this holistic treatment is more effective than morphine. Of course it is. It's natural. And it's within the living realm of sustainability, and it is dealing with your energy. And this is talking about the ancient practice of acupuncture. So check out that for pain relief. Check out that. You're a natural being. What makes you think that any synthetic means will be able to sustain you? It will only destroy your natural state. It will make you synthetic. And synthetic, ladies and gentlemen, does not live, is rigid and dead. So check out that article. Next article comes from another mainstream media, NBC. This came from NBC News. ATM error cost a woman hundreds of dollars, no matter the time of day. And I'm going to tell you something. All the ATMs, if you ever notice, they're putting ATMs everywhere, because when they crash the system and crash the economy economically and crash the currency economically, they want to do it by an inanimate object of a machine. And they're cutting back on a bunch of branches, if you ever notice. They got ATMs everywhere because they can easily be what? Unplugged or shut down. That's exactly what's going to happen. So no matter the time of day, the ATM makes it possible to put money in the bank. They say money, but you're not ever putting money in the bank. Sorry, that's currency. Currency is not money. Almost anywhere. There was a lady, Laura Brady, does it all the time. I have some rental properties, and I receive payment once a month by cash and by check. So I deposit once a month these payments all together. And this lady had a major problem. So check out what she had and what was going on here. This is what cash does to you. It's subject to clawback. There's a lot of things about it that you should be educating yourself on, the difference between currency and money. Next article comes from the LA Times. Very, very important. Mexican president Peña cancels the planned meeting with Trump. The Mexican president has canceled his planned meeting with Trump over disagreement over who would pay for construction of a border wall. In a tweet, Peña said that his government informed the White House on Thursday morning that the meeting in Washington planned for next Thursday is off. So check out that article. We're definitely we really need to talk about this before we go. We'll talk about this now. No, I'm gonna come back to this. Next article. It's not an article. This one came from YouTube, and this is about the Democratic well, this is about a celebrity figurehead congressperson that went to Syria. And this is, oh man, I can't remember her name. It's she's a congresswoman, Democratic congresswoman out of Hawaii. Tuli, I can't, is her first name. I can't remember her last name offhand. But she went to Syria. And hear what she said about her time in Syria. And it was all a part of this setup and everything else. But she said that there is no such thing as moderate terrorists. And basically she was saying that the U.S. was funding the situation in the terrorists in Syria. Well, no joke. This is so true. But this is all a part of the plan to destabilize everything, to put the situation, to get into World War III that's going to lead to global nuclear war one that is going to adversely affect you. So check out that article. Next one came from the Chicago Tribune. Trump says torture absolutely works as his government readies a review. Celebrity figurehead CEO of the United States, Donald Trump, declared Wednesday he believes torture works as his administration has readied a sweeping review of how America conducts war on terror and includes possibly resumption of banned interrogation methods and reopening the CIA black site prisons outside of the United States. So you already know what that means, that black sites inside and black sites outside. That's what they do. Now, what I want to do real quickly is I want to go back to one article that, in my opinion, is very, very important. And this has everything to do with the NAFTA and everything else in Mexico, saying that they want Mexico to pay for a wall. All of this is sounds, you know, good and everything else. But here's what I want to express to you all. This is a part of the destabilization program that we continue to try to get you to prepare yourself for based on your conditions. And I would say focus on what you can do, but be aware of your limitations. You have to know your limitations, but focus on what you can do to prepare. But now, this is very, very critical because this is going to be a part of the unraveling. See, the thing is that the system has to unravel in a certain way to maintain its overall momentum and its overall control. It has to be the Wizard of Oz that stands behind the curtain. It has to happen, and they do it by various means. They have different organizations and layers of protection to protect itself, and it uses theatrical, and it uses sorcery. It uses all forms of tactics in order to maintain. It uses all forms of deception known as war to maintain its overall control over your free will, that you surrender to the system. So this is just one. Now, here's what I think you're going to see. In my opinion, I would not be surprised by this. They've established where they have adversity and they have opposition. And there is an opposition between the U.S. and Mexico. But the last time I checked, when I was flying on a plane, I looked at what the great creator had created, and I didn't see any borders. But I do know how man has carved out everything on this planet so that they can control it. And this is known as borders. So they have this alleged, this created, this facade, this dream, this falsehood of borders. And now because of that, they with those lines, it tells you where you can cross and where you can't cross. Now, this is a very, very powerful tool because it allows people to develop hatred for another person that they don't even know. And from within hatred comes malicious intent, and it comes the purveying of evil that we will do and justify it. And they cast this poison like vaccinations in a syringe, and they push it to us daily from all forms of schooling, all form of propaganda, and we grow up and we're bombarded with it until we accept it. and that we think the only way that we can live is by the answer to the demigod of man. So now, with this opposition, I want to put this wall up, and this is going to cause dissension. This is going to cause good people to do evil things. This is going to cause otherwise moral people to be immoral. And once you cross that bridge, it's very difficult to come back. But you still can, because it's by your choice. And you can choose to be moral and then go immoral, or immoral and go moral. It's always up to you. But the system never tells you that. It tells you that this is the way you have to think. And they indoctrinate you from a child to change you from who you truly are to what they want you to become. So now, this destabilization in Mexico, they say that they have Mexico by the short hairs. Canada said that it's basically that the United States is holding Mexico out of a window from a skyscraper by their ankles. And let me tell you something, that's what the system wants. Because here's what I wouldn't be surprised by this whole thing. They are going to totally economically devastate the Mexican economy and try to get them to go along with this program. And it's going to be, and this is why they do it by way of racial and evil intentions. And there's going to be a lot of people say, yeah, build the wall and everything else, as you already know, and on all sides. But here's going to be the catch. The same people that are asking the system to build the wall, they don't even realize that they're building a prison for those individuals on all sides. Here's what I wouldn't be surprised if happened. Remember, China said that they would fund the United States enemy and destabilize the United States from within and from without, and they will fund the enemies of the United States. Mexico is going to become an enemy of the United States, and Mexico has what China needs. China needs food and water. China needs the access to maintaining strong trade. So what's going to happen is, and this is all a setup, Mexico is going to look very desperate and like they have no out. And then guess what's going to happen? They're going to receive a phone call from China, and they're going to say, we're going to have a deal with you because we're going to start buying your oil and buying your food. And everything that you lost with the United States, don't worry about. We'll make it up in a trade alliance and with a treaty and trade agreement between our two nations. And then lo and behold, China is going to send their military into Mexico because of the agreement to protect them. And lo and behold, now you have the making of what the U.S. has been doing to the rest of the world is going to be moving to do to them. And Mexico is going to be a champion of that. And so what's going to happen in the Gulf of Mexico and in the Pacific, well, then China is going to build infrastructure and have alliance with Mexico. And guess what? The South Sea of China issue is going to be in the Gulf of Mexico. And there's many people that are here that are believing this, drinking the Kool-Aid, because they always have poison in the Kool-Aid, been drinking the Kool-Aid, and they're going to be like, what is China doing sending submarines into the Gulf of Mexico and claiming trade routes in the Gulf of Mexico, which is rich in what? Oil. And this is going to destabilize and quicken the overall physical hot war between. The setup is already there, folks. And this is what you need to prepare for. So I just wanted to really, really emphasize that to you all and to make you aware of that. I wouldn't be surprised if that is going to be, because they're going to isolate Mexico so much that there's going to be a knock or there's going to be a call. And the caller on the other side is going to speak Mandarin and have a Spanish interpreter. And it's all a setup. Not only are they going to do it in Mexico, they're going to do it in Venezuela. And they're going to say there's a natural interest that we share. You need trade, and we need the natural resources. And this is where the sanctioning and the overall blockade is going to be great. And it's going to turn into a military confrontation. And it's going to be right here on the doorstep. So I just see this really going in a way that continues to perpetuate continue to perpetuate the overall global destruction and depopulation, and the reason why you should prepare. So with that being said, very, very important. I just wanted to express that, but hey, we're going to get into the rest of the show. If you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate. Give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Then hit **. We'd love to hear from you. A dialogue is much more important than a monologue. If you have agreements with that or disagreements with it, we'd still love to hear from you. Your thoughts on it is very, very important. It could definitely help others. But this is just what I'm seeing. This is just what I wouldn't be surprised what would happen. And this, to me, is very telling of which you can see the destabilization. We got a caller. My man Mel is there. Mel, what's going on?
What's up, big bro?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Peace, man. I just had a quick question, because, I mean, just considering that, like, 90% of the goods, well, I'm not going to say 90%, but a great percentage of goods that's here in America are from China. And how is it that our relations are so, I know it's a power thing, I'm totally with you, and what you're saying is making total sense. I know Mexico, I'm telling you, they build that wall, we're going to be trying to get up out of this, we're going to be trying to get to Mexico. But what happens with all the goods that we live on every day that's from China? I mean,
man, great question, Mel. And it's not only just the goods. Next time you go food shopping, look at how much of your fruits and vegetables come from Mexico. Look how much of that comes from Mexico. Now, could California definitely could. But what does California have a problem with?
Water. Fukushima.
Fukushima. And water. And when you start to go into today's warfare, where it's weatherized, and I'm going to tell you that it's going to be very destable weather that's going to be here, because this is going to be the target to maintain the overall control. So yeah, what's going to happen is that those goods aren't going to be available. And when they are available, they're going to be very, very expensive in order for everyone here to maintain. See, this is the trap. This was the bait that this system put for everybody else. They made everyone here a consumer. And by being a consumer, everyone here has been taught to develop a lifestyle based off of consuming. You know, like Brother David said yesterday, we waste so much food, and that was intentionally done, because that's how the overall the maintenance and the overall mechanism and nomenclature of subjugation and enslavement starts. So to answer your question directly, Mel, is that you're not going to get those things. But see, a lot of people don't realize how dependent on, I hate to say that, but you may know, you already know, a lot of people understand how dependent they are on imported goods. And all of those imported goods will be coming here. And more important, even I don't care how much they talk about the jobs they're going to be bringing back. Yeah, but they're not going to be paying anything, and those jobs won't be for long because they don't have the supplies to maintain them. What difference does it make if you're going to build a factory, but you don't have the overall supplies to build it? Because you know what? Those things are no longer manufactured here. Those raw materials have to come from somewhere else. And not only that, the expertise and the machinery, all of that has to be replaced. The supply line is outside. And how about this? The intellectual properties of those things have already been compromised, and in a cyber attack, they're going to wonder why nothing queues up, nothing turns on, nothing works, because they already been bugged. A lot of people are going to be adversely affected by this. One of the things is that for just the overall sustainability, from solar power to wind power to turbine power to all sorts of things, you heard it here when we were looking at the cyber wars, how some of the wind turbines had already been sent to China and then set and reprogrammed and sent back here. What do you think China is going to do when the war starts? Well, we'll talk about that in the 96-hour margin call. So, Mel, your question is this. It's not going to be available. And what is available is going to be extremely expensive because the availability will be none. And the rest of the world will look at if they want to see Trump's inaugural speech was actually telling you that you better get your butt prepared for war, because that's exactly what is going to happen. And so pretty much they tell you everything. So there's not going to be the supply chain. There's not going to be the overall supply. And remember, we work off of the system here works off of a just-in-time delivery system, and it's just going to be late to not coming. And this is how you have major, major, major problems. And this is how an empire dies. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Brad.
I was wondering, man, how that salvage claim that they filed at the United Nations against African American so-called and Mexicans, how that salvage claim, how that affect us.
Say that again, Brother Braggs, I missed it.
I was wondering about the salvage claim that was filed at the United Nations.
The salvage claim?
Yeah, there was a salvage claim that was filed by our President Bush in 2002, but it was gone back on when they changed our name from African American. Like, the birth certificate has changed. You can't find no designation on your birth certificate now if you don't have an old birth certificate. So it won't say like colored Negro, you know, it won't say that. I went and got mine just to double check. They don't have no designation.
Yeah, and now with the salvage claim, Brother Braggs, explain exactly what happened with that salvage claim.
I have to get my book to go through the whole long thing, but a salvage claim, it was like the salvage claim was saying that Mexicans, Mexican-Americans, and African-Americans, we're putting a burden on the financial stability of America. So they went before the United Nations. They filed a claim so that they could get relief. So I'm wondering how that's playing in with what they're trying to build this wall for the Mexicans. Because you got to remember, the Mexicans go back all the way back in history. The Mexicans was here. They like us. They from us. You know, so when people jump on that bandwagon, you got to kind of watch that. other indigenous
people? Without a doubt. As a part of the overall indigenous migration, you know, when the tectonic plate split and everything else, you know, you can take actually trace some of the Mexican history back to actually the Middle East and everything else. Yeah,
Maya, Inca, Olmec, all the same. Maya, Inca, Olmec, Mexican. Hey, they go right in there with us, man. You know.
Oh, without a doubt.
That's a serious issue. You got to get on.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we got to get ready for a commercial break. Hold on, Brother Bragg. Hold on, Mel. Brother Davis, real quickly. Hold on. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 866-510-9025. Sorry about that, everyone. 866-510-9025. Then hit ** and to unmute yourself, and we'll see you, and definitely we'll bring you up. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We're going to mute everyone, but we'll bring you back just so that we have no interference on the commercial. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, and then go ahead and hit **. That will unmute you, and we'll see you inside of queue. I'm looking at the board, so I'll be able to see you. If you'd like to jump in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. So very, very important. So we got a couple of callers we got to get to until we, and then we'll get back into the show. We got Brother Davis is on the line. Brother Davis, always good to hear the voice of a friend.
I sincerely believe that, my brother.
Yes, sir.
But listen, I want to comment on Brother Bragg's statement. The reason why is because the Bush administration wanted to scrabble the content of what is considered to be an indigenous citizen. Now, history has shown us already the Africans were here when Columbus discovered America, but so were a number of different other identities. They resubmitted the fact that Indians were here, but literally they went and to court, went to the NATO and filed a salvage agreement in order to recoup debt that they were created by African Americans and Mexicans, everybody but them. Now you have to understand how the law is written. They don't write the law to your favor. They write the law to their favor. And understand the law that they write is over a land that they have no true stake in. So literally, they're trying to blur everything so that when they ask you a question, and that question is something simple as, what is the race on your birth certificate? Well, African American was first coined when Jesse Jackson ran in 1992 or something.
And when 80, he coined 82, that, 82.
Okay, 82.
82, 83,
When he coined that phrase, people gravitated to it. But they failed to realize that that phrase gives their homage and their, basis of indigeneity to Africa. Now, every other minority, every other group in the country can call themselves Irish American, Jewish American, or whatever. But when African Americans do it, they literally are giving away their indigenous rights
to make claim to America. So let me back out, but I wanted to bring a little clarity to the statement that he was making.
Yeah, and you know, and that individual, if you know the history of that individual, just look at that individual when his son went on trial, he had to admit that he was an informant for the government, and that all came from the whole family, and particularly his father, from being an informant. That came from the involvement in the overall accomplished, many, which I believe was accomplished in the assassination, and that's where you first got it all in going forth. So, yeah. And see, the thing is this, is like Brother Braggs and what Brother Davis is saying, it's a matter of confusing you so that you will have to try to claim some letter of the law rights, and so that you will abandon your inalienable ability.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
The first question is I miss what? Who are you talking about? Who admitted to being an informant?
Jesse Jackson Jr.
Oh, okay. Not senior. I would think he would be in the game too, but yeah.
No. But see, yeah, how it works is that for you to become, because when someone goes into that, their whole family is now in it, and so
right.
It carries on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so
right.
It was introduced by senior.
Listen, this is my question related to that. It caused somebody. You know, we talk a lot about the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution never abolishing slavery. And so this person was saying that that's not, you know, that's not true and all this, which, you know, I don't need to go back and forth with somebody. Either you believe it or you don't. Either you read or you can't. You know, either you can comprehend or you can't. So I'm not going to argue with somebody about that. But they brought up saying right. that the 14th Amendment is really what enslaved us. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm not a slave. You can claim be a slave if you want to be a slave.
My man, right, Johnny.
But I'm not a slave.
I
advocate for people who are slaves, all right? You know, there's a big difference between mental enslavement and your physical body being on somebody's plantation, being forced to work. And if you don't work, they're going to beat you. They're going to maybe even kill you. That is happening on these prison plantations. So, I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, even though I don't recognize the United States like you don't as you know, being the arbitrator of my rights, I was endowed with those rights when I was born. I was endowed with human rights. But at the same time, I am no fool. I'm behind enemy lines, and they do have the authority to subject me to those things, whether I want to, you know, want to claim this or that or not. So I'm just trying to get some clarity on some of this thinking.
Now, your question for me was exactly what, Scott, because we're in,
I mean,
in the
what
same,
does... do you...
Oh, the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, the 14th.
Yeah, okay. Now, you're absolutely right, Scotty, and we share the same brain and the same sentiments on this. I don't care what the system calls me. I don't answer to those calls. I don't care that they try to get me to obey something. I don't obey what they have. I don't consider their written laws as any form of legal wherewithal or legal standings within me. I don't. And it's not only the 13th Amendment, it's the whole Constitution that enslaves you. It's the whole Constitution. If you read the Constitution, that it actually is telling you that they are enslaving you. And if you know the history behind it, it's really, really relevant. And the thing is that I always like to put it this way. The letter of the law is always to subjugate and enslave. It makes you pay for your birthright. That's what it compels. That's what it teaches. That's what it tries to get to surrender, you to surrender to. Paying for your birthright to someone that is actually exacting something from you that they don't have a moral right to. It's an exaction. All of their laws that they write on paper is an exaction. And so everything, from everything that they put together, that's what it is, because it's put together by a fraternity to enslave the masses. So this is what the second part of this show is going to be about. I'm glad that it was brought up this way. Thank you, Brother Braggs, for leading us, Brother Davis, this way, and Mel, and you, Scotty. Because now what I want to do is I want to transition real quick into what to do if you're stopped by the police. Some of the things that I really, really want to impart to you as a self-determining, sovereign individual, here's what I would advise to you, okay? And I say that from a standpoint, from a position for you to be stopped and then for you to be able to leave on your own, at your behesting, or for you to be able to continue in your overall direction. And there are some very critical things that you should do that I would like to impart to you. And I would just say this from this standpoint. Hear me out when I say this. There's a difference between winning and being sovereign and understanding when there is no need for you to give energy or to invoke yourself when you're already free, when you're already self-determined and sovereign. And I want to talk, because this is a major thing, especially for our young people. And our young people, one of the things that this system always teaches our young people to do is to respond from emotions. But I want you to respond from you using wisdom and you being strategical in everything you do. So doesn't matter if you are, when you're pulled over, let me just use some of this so we don't have any background noise. It's very critical, in my opinion, that we understand how to win and how to come away without any further or unnecessary or injudicial harm from the system upon contact by being pulled over. Now remember, whenever you're pulled over, you are actually dealing with one of, from the system standpoint, I'm just saying with the system, one of the most authoritative and powerful individuals that the system has put into place. And I say that for this reason. Just hear me out on this. Let me tell you why. Because whenever that individual under the color of authority of the system is pulling you over, that individual has the ability and has the support and it has the backing and the infrastructure to physically take you into custody by either by death or by handcuffs. The president of the United States doesn't have that power immediately to do that. Congress doesn't have that power immediately to do that. But whenever you're pulled over by the police, the sheriffs, or any of the law enforcement agency, that individual represents at that moment the ability to arrest you by way of handcuffs or by death. And that's one thing that we have to understand and know, first and foremost. That is not a matter of if it's in your best interest to where you want to continue, and it's not a strategical thing to fall into the ambush that is set by the enemy. It's actually to be able to go around their tracks. So now, knowing that, there are some things that I think that is beneficial for us, for you to know and to do, so that you can leave that situation unharmed and without getting your car towed, without getting a ticket, without being adversely affected by that contact. Number one, whenever you see the Christmas lights that are in your rearview mirror that are going off, believe me, there is no present that's coming to you. We need to immediately understand the conditions that we're working under and how to position ourselves in advantage. Number one, pull over in a space that allows the most convenient and safest place, not only for you, but for that individual that's pulling you over. Okay? Do it and stop somewhere where it's a lot of people. Okay? That would be ideal if you have that capability. Number two, if you have electric windows, roll every window down. Turn off your music. Put your hand on the steering wheel where they can be seen. And when that individual comes up, regardless of what their attitude is, just because someone is nasty doesn't mean that you have to fall for their traps. Understand that you are in a game right now. And the game is for you to win. Be polite. Address the individual the way that your parents have taught us with respect of any person, any human being. Don't address them as their personship. Address their human interest. Why do you do that? Because then that can start to diffuse everything. You can start with good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Sir or ma'am, how may I help you? Why do you do that? With the windows down, make eye contact with that individual. And if you can see their name, it would be nice if you call, if it would be to your advantage if you call them by their last name. How may I help you? The reason why you roll your windows down, so that when that individual walks up, they can see that it puts something in their mind. It puts in their mind they don't know who you are now. They don't know who you're attached to. They do know something. They know that you know about tactics and the excuses that they would be using for officer safety. You diffuse that. It puts them at more of an ease. Okay? Number one, that's what you do. Address them. Listen to everything that they say. Okay? From there, if they ask you a question, answer their question as if you're talking to a human being, not a person. Why are you doing that? Because now you are diffusing the situation, and now you're taking control of the situation. If they start to yell at you, speak lower. As they raise their voice, you speak lower. Why? Because there's a psychological effect that it has on other people that are yelling. When you start speaking lower, it causes them to speak lower. It diffuses and lowers the stress and the tension. So then the individual don't know what they pull you over for. Whatever they're going to pull you over for, they may ask you for whatever it is that you need to bring. Give it to them, whatever it is. They may ask you some other questions. They may ask you and tell you the reason why they stopped you. Let's say now I'm going to give you an example. I was in Tennessee recently, and I was in the wrong when I got pulled. I was in the right-hand turning lane, and instead of making the turn, I went straight because I was somewhere that I didn't know, and I got pulled over by the police. The officer came up. I dropped every window that I had, addressed them, told me why he stopped, and I said, yes, I did do that. And the reason why I did that is because of this. And he could tell from my plates I was from out of state. Asked me why I was here, and I said I'm visiting for the holidays and everything else. But I was my composure had never wavered, and I always made eye contact, and I wasn't addressing the person that stopped me. I was addressing the human being that stopped me. Now, you are going to come across some people that are brutal. But the key is that now it's for you to to actually diffuse the whole situation by how you respond to them. So give them your information. If they are going to give you a ticket, that is not the time for you to fight that ticket. Okay? If they're going to give you that ticket, do not, you want to minimize that time frame and the length and the contents of that contact with that individual. And I'm going to tell you something, in today's world, because of everything that's been going on, sometimes you'll have someone that is that has intentions and sometimes you don't. If you address them with politeness and you're straightforward as far as making eye contact with them and addressing them as a human being, they will respect that even more, because what they do expect is they expect that that you, especially if you are an indigenous person, that you're going to give them an attitude. That's what they really do expect. And they actually are preparing themselves to deal with them, with that. So surprise. Have a person-to-person conversation. And if they want to give you a ticket, depending on their overall demeanor, sometimes it's better to sign that ticket and drive off than to fight there at that time. Very, very important. By you just dropping the window, addressing the person, making them feel at ease, 9 times out of 10, especially now, they're going to walk away and just say, hey, let me write you a contact. And then, because they have to document everyone that they pull over, and then I will be back. And just because they're bringing you something back may not be a ticket. It may just be where they contact and warned you. Because every different police department is different. A lot of them now have to, they can't just talk to you and let you go. Now, they're going to ask you some questions. While I was pulled over, the officer asked me, well, who am I here to see? Who am I here to visit? I didn't answer. Because at some point, at some time, he could understand, he knew, he didn't know who I was, but he knew that I knew something. And I'm just visiting. Straight to the point, I'm just visiting. And then he realized, okay, let me get back to me, just because I don't know if this dude is a judge. But if you were, you're supposed to announce it. I don't know who this person is. And that's what you always want to give the impression of. Because what happens in this whole thing is that when they pull you over, they don't know who you are. But if you act a certain way, they know that you're not anyone that they should actually be concerned about. Now you've given them the excuse to carry out whatever it is that they want to carry out. So I think it's very, very important. And also, set the tone for the next person that they pull over. If they are give you a ticket or not, it's very, very important that you address that individual when leaving, that they came across someone that they came, the person that they came across made them a better person than when they first started. Even if they give you a ticket, do not have an emotional response to it. Tell them, have a good day, be careful, or whatever. Let me tell you why that's important. Because then that may diffuse this and now you're appealing to this human being. Maybe that diffuse them for the next time that they pull somebody over, that they won't act the way that they did with you. But if we do what the system has taught us to do, we always will be put in a position of disadvantage. Now, this doesn't go with if you have an officer that pulls you over that is excessive and you know that you're dealing with a real problem. In the streets is not where you should make your case. In the streets is not where you should make your case. because the likelihood of you winning that because of the support and the overall resources that that individual can call to assist them, there won't be any cavalry that you'll be able to call. Don't walk into an ambush and be a victim of an ambush. Be smart about it, so that you can walk away or drive away and go about your business. You're not going to change the system at that contact. The only thing that you're going to change on that contact is that individual, that human being. Is that human being. It's not the system that you're going to change, but you may be able to change that human being. So I just really wanted to, we got a couple of minutes before we go into the break. I know Brother Davis is still here. He wants to chime in. If you'd like to chime in, don't hesitate. Give me a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. And I talk about this from a position of experience. I know. I used to do this. I never wrote tickets. I never really pulled people off. Everyone that I pulled over, I gave a warning as to, hey, this or this or this or that. But it was never where I did write some tickets because it was necessary to write it, because of this individual did not need to be driving, and because of what they were doing and everything else. So, but you have to be mindful of that. Set the tone for you to leave in a better position than when you were stopped. And not only that, for that individual that's stopping you, I think is very, very important. So we got two callers in queue. Mel, we'll be right there with you. Brother Davis, we got 5 minutes. We're going to start with you, then we're going to go to Mel, then we'll go to the commercial break, or we'll come back after the commercial break if it goes further than that. Don't rush. Don't worry about it. This is very, very important, because we never know who we may be able to help here. Do not respond by emotions. It is time for you to think and be wise and strategical in your overall approach. So let's go to Brother Davis. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
Can you hear me, brother?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, first I want to add to what you said. Talk in a monitory tone. And the reason why I say that, because if you talk low, they could misinterpret what you want to say. You want to be sure that this is very clear, what you say and what you hear. One. Two, as late as it is now, and I'm on a dark road and it's dark out here, if the cops try to pull you over, put your emergency flashers on to acknowledge that you know they are. Ride at a casual speed till you get to a well-lit area. Don't put yourself in jeopardy behind stopping out of your fear, because literally a well-lit area casts a balance of understanding in your circumstance, meaning that other people can ride by and see what's going on. And most well-lit areas in cities now have video cams, so you may be able to catch something that would not be seen at all on a dark road. One. Two, try to know the local rules. And the reason why I say that is because now Trump is pushing state authority. And that is the case. Louisiana passed a law today that if you resisted arrest, that's considered a hate crime against the police officer. So that literally takes you from the fat to the fire without even being a usage of words, because now that police officer has a right to interpret how you react from the moment one. So make sure that you have one thing in focus. You want to get through this alive. And I'm going to step in the back room and listen.
Yeah, great, great points. Great, great points, Brother Davis. Go ahead. Brother Mel, you there?
Yes, sir. Wow, that's amazing. Hey, greetings, Brother Davis. Wow, that's
greetings, brother.
Scary. That's scary. He said that just resisting arrest, that can be interpreted by the officer. So, wow, that's amazing. Okay.
It always has been. But what Brother Davis is saying is they legalize that so that they can protect the officers after the fact if you want. But that's always been the case. That's an unspoken law that is there. But Brother Davis is absolutely right.
Well, you know, me as well. I'm a commercial driver as well, and you know, I mean, legally, so to speak, we held by different standards by having a commercial license. But
Well, Mel, that's very, very important. Don't jeopardize your livelihood.
Exactly.
Right, you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
And I was saying, I mean, for people, I mean, man, just do the, like Brother Scotty always say, man, we behind enemy lines. Don't do nothing that's going to get you even in that situation. Please, just do the speed limit. Do things properly. Use your signals. Make sure your tags is up to date. Make sure, you know, that you understand that you are behind enemy lines. Don't give them a reason, for one. But my question was, you know, as far as reaching, when they say, you know, license registration, me and my wife, I've told her to keep it on the, you know, on the little mirror that's above you. But she stays mm-hmm. in the mirror. You know, she always pulling the mirror down, checking, make sure she's straight. So, I mean, what that's ridiculous. I hate it. But, you know, as far as reaching for your documents and so forth, I mean, that's, What do you suggest as far as that? Because I've heard people say, I'm not going to do that, or I'll tell you where it's at, or, you know, what do you do in that situation?
Let me tell you, the real is that some people could get away. Let me tell you, the police departments police different in different communities. You have to always know where you are, because if you're in so-called a high crime area, soon as you say you're not doing something, here it comes. Here comes the violence that's going to be waged on you. And you have to know where you are. Position all of your documents to where it's easily accessible. I always would say, if you have the visor in your car for the sun, put your documents in a small little billfold or envelope, so that when you reach for that, that's not reaching into a glove compartment that can hold a firearm. Okay? Do that. Put it up where you can just pull it down and it's right there. You go up there to pull it, and they can always see your hand. Do not be a smart butt with the police officer. Let me tell you why. Because even though you may leave without physical harm, that individual has the ability to write you large, sizable tickets from anything from your license plate being dirty. Don't challenge that. Don't challenge that. Always know where you are. Put your documents in your visor to where you don't reach in your glove compartment for it. Hand it to them, and most importantly, even if they are not cool, if they're a knucklehead, appeal to their person. Before you know it, 9 times out of 10, or likelihood, they will start to speak to you as a person. Okay? Use everything to your advantage. And also know that if you have an individual that comes with a spirit, be able to discern spirit, where this individual, no matter what you do, they just looking for a reason, give them whatever they want, let them write the ticket and go about your business and get out the way. Because that's just a train wreck waiting to happen. You have to be cognizant. You have to be able to discern where you are at all times and that individual that you're dealing with. Very, very, very important. So there's a lot of little things that you can do. And those are just some of the things that you can do that will actually put you probably, and I'm going to tell you, and today and right now, you're more likely, the likelihood of you, if you approach the situation right, the likelihood of you not getting a ticket is even higher now. But you have to know, if you're in a small town and everything else, those towns depend on that ticket revenue. Know where those small towns are. Avoid them. Or like Mel said, do the speed limit, do all of this other stuff, know where you're going. But if you do find yourself in that situation, it's better to go to court than to try to state your claim right there with that individual. Because that individual, like I said, that individual has more power than the president, than Congress, than any general, because they can do things immediately to you. Immediately. And most importantly, they have the support
So just know those things. Yeah, go ahead, Mel.
Before we go to break, let's
go to break. Hold on one second, Mel, because let's go to break, okay. And then we'll come right back after break, okay? Listen, everyone, got to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Kando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We'll come right back to you, Mel.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Kando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment about today's show, don't hesitate. This is the last 30 minutes of the show. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, and then we're going to go to Mel, and then we're going to I want to also address, what if things go wrong? And what if some of the things that you should be thinking about and doing if things go wrong? We need to address that as well. A lot of people don't address what's in your best, the best way to handle or to respond to when things go wrong, okay? So we'll talk about that right after Mel has his question or comment. So we're going to go back to Mel. Go ahead, Mel.
Yes, sir. I'm really excited to hear about that as well. I just wanted to really quickly say, and excuse me, Brother David Stoles as well, make it a habit to do like what we call a PM, on your vehicle, do a preventive maintenance, and have wifey get out and check, make sure my brake lights work, make sure my turn signals work, and even if it's just a once a week thing, do that, and that'll also benefit you. But that's all I wanted to add, man. And I love the show, great show, brother. Peace,
yep.
Brother.
And if for some reason there's something wrong with your car, and there's something wrong with your car. And when that individual comes up to you and dresses that, don't we may all have been raised in the ghetto, but we don't have to act like the ghetto. That's only going to get us in trouble. Acknowledge it with a smile, say yes, and then tell them why or whatever, and then once again, appeal to that human being in them. Very, very important. As Mel said, check your vehicle. Hold on one second, Brother Brad. Check your vehicle. Very, very important. So we got another caller in queue. We got Brother Braggs is there. Go ahead, Brother Braggs.
Yeah, I was just going to say I was in court last Friday for a ticket and some observations, but I just wanted to say I got a camera, man, that mounts on your rearview mirror that I'm getting ready to install on my vehicle, man. So that takes care of that, so they can see what I'm doing and what's going on, inside and outside the vehicle. And that's what you got to do in these days. You just got to protect yourself. You are who you are. No telling how people might perceive you. So some things
right.
are in your control, but some things are beyond your control. You just got to work with it. And that's all I had to say, Dave.
So true. All right, now, I want to address, great point, Brother Brad. I want to address, what if things go wrong? How you should respond? Know who's in your car at all times. From your children to someone that you know, for whatever reason, you know who they are, and you know the baggage that comes along with them. What do I mean by that? If you have someone in your car that you know is confrontational, okay, and you're about to pull over, before you stop, just as you about to stop that car, look over to that person and let them know, however firmly you need to put it, shut the... Because, let me tell you, one of the things that's very, very bad, a position that especially with young people, what really hurts a lot of young people is that they actually get taught the wrong way to respond at that critical moment when they're stopped by the police. Because the actual system wants you to act a certain way. The system wants you to be a slave, so they want that contact to go awry. You can't fall for that trap. If you have any sense about you, but some people don't. So now, you can't control someone else's free will. If they decide to act out, you can't control that. But if you know you have that type of person in your car, you tell them right away, be quiet. And if they do, this is where you have to realize that you have to try to defuse that situation immediately and it's to your best interest. Now, if it goes to where it becomes confrontational, you have to remove yourself from that. What do I mean that you have to remove yourself from being the threat? You have to remove yourself from being the threat. Because I'm going to tell you, I've seen it where one person was reasonable, everything would have went ahead, but then there was another person that just wanted to go off. Why? Because they wanted to. And what people want to do, they're going to do. That does not mean that you got to get suckered into that. Okay? So know who's in your car. Know who's your company. Be mindful of that. Okay? Very, very critical. If things go awry while you're there, make sure that you maintain your composure. One of the things, when I was talking about using your voice deflection is very, very important. And I'm talking from one of the things that is a part of their training, the police training, is that they read body language and they read voice deflection as to what's happening. This is why I said what I said, because I know. Very, very important. While someone else is yelling, that's when you start to talk lower. And while they're yelling, if someone starts, you got someone in your car and they start going off on the police for whatever reason, you know, listen, there's body language and there's communication and eye contact that you can make with other people, let them know, yo, that ain't me. I don't know why he try to get that person to calm down. Even if you got to use what language you got to use, you got to yell at that person, but that's not the place or time. If they want to do that on their own time, especially in today's world, because it can go awry quickly. Okay? So be mindful of that and keep yourself out of harm's way as much as you possibly can. But if you are, or even if you're somewhere where you happen to walk into, where some people have you could be walking down the street and then the police grab you and pull you over with everybody else. Make sure that you are not, detach yourself. Don't say I'm not with them or anything else unless you don't really know them. If you don't really know, I don't know them, I don't know what's up, hey, I just walking by. Don't just leave. Don't just try to leave. Don't just say, I'm going to leave. Even though you may have the right to do it, it may not be the appropriate time to do it. Ask. Hey, officer, I got nothing to do with this. Can I leave? Likelihood they notice, they're going to laugh and say, yes, you can go. But do not create an environment that you really don't want to be in. That's not the in a lot of cases you are not prepared for that confrontation, nor will the likelihood of you being successful in that confrontation will that happen. It actually is only going to get you in more trouble, unwarranted trouble or whatever. It's not necessary. So if you have someone with you that is that way, and it gets to the point where you can't control that individual, you can't get reason with that individual to shut up and just let so that we can leave, allow your body language to show that you're separating yourself from that individual. It's too critical in today's world. Too critical. Always know where you are. Always know, especially if you are male, you black, and all of the other things, know where you're going. Know the overall, especially if you're going somewhere that you're familiar with. Know the appropriate places that you're to go. And I'm not saying curtail your life for this, but what I'm saying is be wise about your overall travels. And if you do travel, travel wisely. And so that you can continue to do what you need to do. Because the only thing that what I want to avoid is you having to deal with the system. In today's world, even if you are in the wrong, even if you are in the wrong, do not fight. There are times in which you should fight, but you have to understand if you do fight, it may be your last one. But there may be times where you do have to, and you got to know the difference between it. You got to know the difference between it. Okay? Even if you have done something wrong, this is the approach that you should take. If you've done something wrong, if there is no way out for you, know when you have lost and stop the whole engagement there, right then and there. But one of the first things that you do is shut your mouth completely. Any question that's asked to you, and you, if you know you in the wrong, shut up. Don't say a word. Let the whole process go through what it's going to go through. Don't try to talk your way out of it if you already know the uh-oh. And understand if you did do something wrong, that I've been had here. I'm not in the position of advantage. So I shouldn't try to make this worse. All right? That's not the time and place to do it. But if you are in the wrong, you already know that you are in the wrong, be quiet. Questions that are asked to you, don't answer. But you can do that in a way that is not threatening. You can do that in the way. You can just look at the individual and say, I'm not going to say anything more, officer. So I understand you got to do what you got to do. Go ahead and do what you have to do, but I'm not going to say anything about anything. That is the best course of action that you can take. The absolute best. Because everything you say is going to be used against you. Everything. Your body language, all of those things along with what you say is going to be used. The less you say, the better. So I just wanted to impart those things to you because of where we are, and things are going to get, in my opinion, much worse. But I don't think that it is necessary for us to walk into an ambush and say, I want to walk into an ambush and let me fight my way out of it. That's not wise. That's not prudent. It's not responsible. Especially for those of us that have responsibilities. always think about those responsibilities. We have a responsibility to our children to love and to develop and to nurture them in a way that can best bring out their talents, and need you there to be able to do that. Need you there to be able to do it. So that was just one of the things that I wanted to impart to you all. If you have any questions or comments, we got 2 minutes left. Man, time flies. We will definitely still do the 96-hour margin call. So, so important, especially because it's going on. We got 2 minutes left. Any questions or comments? Some things that you think we should do, this or that? Oh, my man. Go ahead, Roz. Shoot, we got 3 minutes, Roz. Go ahead. Peace,
yes,
my brother.
Greetings. Great show. I just had to help my wife with her parents just now. But this show is very important. First, I wanted to say I've always been under the premise that the wall being built that Trump wants to build after what happened in Venezuela is to keep Americans in, not to keep Mexicans out. He's lying. Because when everything hits the fan, just like Mel said, everybody's going to be running for that border. And they're going to be like, uh-uh, you're not going over there. There's no food to get in Mexico. That is the plan, to keep us trapped by that border. Second, when you talk about interactions with police and being with someone who is aggressive or confrontational, it brought me right back to when I was in my teens making music. I have a partner. I'm a tall, 6 foot tall, 200-pound black male. My partner, short, probably about 5 foot one, maybe about 150 pounds soaking wet. And he used to have a temper, Napoleon complex. One time we were coming home from the studio. We got stopped by the police just for being indigenous people traveling in the New York City subway. And my partner started just blacking out on the cop. Why are you pulling us over? Blah, blah, blah. Just going off. But while he's talking, the two officers are eyeballing me because I'm the bigger one. Even though I'm talking calm, I'm addressing the officers, like you said, with respect, trying to appeal to any semblance of humanity. There were two albino police. So as he's talking, he's going off. They're paying attention sonically to his aggression, but visually they're looking at me like they're expecting me to actually be the aggressive one. So as he's talking, they're converging on me. And I finally had to turn around and tell him, shut the F up in front of the cops. And after I told him that, he looked at me, but he shut up. And then I had a viable conversation with these officers, respectful conversation, and they let us go. And when they left, I told him.
I'm sorry, Roz, let me tell you why. Let me tell you what Roz did was so smart. Let me tell you why they let the little dude with the big mouth go, because Roz checked them.
I had I'm sorry, go ahead.
Exactly. Because the only reason why is because they said, Roz is cool. He's not a threat. I don't want things to go awry. They did that because of Roz, not because they definitely, the only reason why they let you guys go is because of the way you checked your friend.
I agree.
They realize
we
can get him later. But we there's a respect that they had when you said shut and everything else. So they said, you know what? I'm going to let them go. Knucklehead going to get in trouble again. So I just wanted to really, and that's very, very important. I knew that that was going to be the case. As soon as you said shut, I said, they're going to let him go.
I had to, because I told him afterwards, I said, if you were paying attention instead of just being emotional, you would have noticed that for all the crap you were talking, you were not considered a threat to them. It was me, the big black male, who was, you know, the Trayvon Martin of the scenario, this larger in life, you know, figure, was about to get my crown cleaned by these officers. And I told
because
him, I said,
of your
when
mouth.
You're dealing with
police, right, Rob.
Because of your mouth. And I said, whenever you deal with officers, you do not approach them that way. I told him, I said, if it's some life or death thing where you know you're following the rules and they literally are trying to kill you, that's a whole other ball game.
Oh, different
ball
thing.
Game.
Different
but
ball game.
Just the,
right.
Exactly. But I said, if it's just a quote-unquote routine stop, you do not approach the situation like that at all. And we had a good conversation afterwards. You know, I apologize for cursing at him because that's my man. Like we, you know, we were really tight. But I had to explain to him that is not the proper protocol because, like Mel said, we behind enemy lines. We are captured in our own land, imprisoned in our own land, and we have to function as prisoners of war. That is not how prisoners of war function. And that is how I function.
And wait, Rod, you got to get ready to get out of here. You're so true. And actually, it was your life that was going to be first challenged. And that's so, without so question. Important. But listen, we're going to pick this up again. Rod, if you can, I know it's late when you usually get to call in, but let's talk back about this. Okay, everyone, much yes, love, sir. Much respect. BIB, Black in Business, is coming on next with Miss CeCe, the golden voice of Black Talk Radio Network. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.